You don't need to be the pilot for you. You don't have to be the head of a soul. But anything I will say, everything I
Welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we try and come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy, and sitting in front of me, because we do the podcast in the spooning position, is...
Alistair George William Trombley Birchall.
That's right.
Good to see you all with my eyes of my mind, because that's what I do. I picture what you guys all look like and what you're wearing, and today you're wearing polka dots and the color orange, light orange, which is in this summer, I imagine, and that will be great because no matter what summer you're listening to this in, there's some jerk off who is a person recommending what colors you should wear this summer, and one of them is going to say orange polka dots.
That's right. There's always going to be that jerk off. The old orange polka dot recommending jerk off.
It would be great if there was a playwright, like a famous playwright who was taken very seriously, but his name was Jerk Off.
It's so close to being reality. Like that could so easily have happened.
But also, like, everybody who is, you know, a fan of the high arts would have to...
constantly sort of refer to Jerkoffian...
yeah. But...
operations.
But also make you sound... make you feel like you're being really childish when you laugh at that. You know, look, it's just a foreign name, and he's a very serious playwright.
Yeah.
And his plays are exceptionally influential and important. Mm-hmm. And you are a child.
Yeah, and he died tragically and sacrificed so much.
Yeah. And the fact that...
Jerk off.
But I think almost they would love that more. Because that would only give them more superiority in enjoying those high arts. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it would allow it to... the heights of art would be allowed to be elevated higher than they've ever been because of the name that... The plebeians laugh at.
But I think also, like, everyone would get more joy because the plebeians would be laughing and being able to feel better than the people who take a guy called Jerkoff seriously.
Yeah.
But all the other people who did take him seriously would also feel better. So the world would be a better place.
The world would be a better place with a playwright called Jerkoff.
Excellent.
Great. Well,
moving on.
And so there are going to be plenty of lessons that you're going to learn like that today.
Yeah.
Or tomorrow.
This is an educational show.
Yeah.
Actually, I was thinking maybe this will be the show where I sell out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think
I might start endorsing products.
Well, anything that...
Nothing in particular, just products.
Yeah. No, well, products are great.
Yeah.
Sorry, I sold out ages ago. That's why. See, I'm an old hat at that.
Still trying to muscle in on my turf. I'm trying to get the lucrative product endorsement.
Oh, yeah? Well, yeah. Well,
if
I'm already...
If I can get some of that money from products, I'm going to be laughing.
Yeah, I've already been getting a bit of money from services. You heard about services?
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
I think we're confusing the issue. Like, we're confusing the audience, all right? Products. We're talking about products today.
Yeah.
You can talk about services next week.
Yeah, but why buy products and do it yourself when you could pay someone else to do it? That's why I personally endorse and I use myself services. Oh, no.
That's it. You've blown it. You've lost it. You've lost the gig.
This would be like the...
I'm going to pick up the services endorsement.
This is like the Pepsi challenge. But you try two things, and then you try to see which one is
product
and which one is a service.
I can't tell the difference. I thought this was a service, but it turns out it's a product. You're blindfolded.
What would it be? What could it be?
It would have to be something like a massage chair or something.
Yeah, or like right. or a coffee machine.
Yeah.
You know, like an automatic coffee machine. You go, oh, I'm not sure what I'm getting here. And you taste it. I don't know. That's almost too straightforward.
Yeah,
it needs to be kind of
already. The idea itself is so abstract. We're trying to bring it into the real world.
Yeah,
but it's always going to be a compromise, Alistair.
Well, like the slave is the ultimate sort of sitting on the fence if you tell him to. product/service. because, you know, essentially a slave is a service, but you
own. They're a service
own.
Provider.
They're a service provider that you own.
Man.
It'd be sort of like owning...
Product or servant, yes.
Yeah.
Product or service.
Well, servant, though, you know. Oh, it's the fence. That's the fence. That's the...
Should it be goods or service? Should it be good or service rather than product? Because then we're closer to goods and services tax, and that's the little package of words that people will recognize.
Oh, yeah. Goods or services tax. Yeah.
A good. A good. This is a good.
This is a good.
A good.
Yeah. And here is a bad.
Here are some goods. Here are some bads.
Here are some services. Look, a good is strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't use that word.
No.
Because it's confusing. I mean, is that what they talk about between the fight between good and evil? Batman, he...
My mind, like... It's like when I'm trying to contemplate the infinite or something, when we get into these conversations where we're just taking something that completely does not belong in the real world. Like not even that it doesn't belong in the real world, but like where it doesn't belong in the... I can't even explain the situation that my mind is in right now because I don't have the vocabulary.
It's almost completely contextless. Yes. And we're just playing with the ideas, which is concepts completely.
Yeah. We're taking an intangible concept and putting it in a tangible world or something, and it just...
Is Batman good or evil? Is he a bad person, or is he a Dyson vacuum cleaner?
Good.
Or evil?
Yeah.
Does he commit crimes, or does he blend frozen strawberries and make smoothies?
And down to the goods and services tax, does... Batman come under a service because he is because he's doing a service for the community, or does he come under a good because he's being good? Is he taxed as a good or as a service?
Is Batman good or evil, or is he good or service? I don't know. That's so dumb.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Batman, good or service?
Okay. Should we talk about a sketch?
Oh, well, what about? What about whether Batman is moral or immoral or an electronic cigarette? Yes, let's look. But okay, what about like? But there's some. None of that was talking. But let's stick to Batman.
Okay, sure. Let's stick to Batman. 'Cause like. His utility belt, which I assume has got Velcro. Do you reckon Batman uses Velcro?
Well, I don't know. I would say he needs a more secure... Like, he needs that so
Velcro's pretty secure.
Do you think so?
And he also needs that easily detached thing.
Yeah, but, you know, surely with the multi-millions of dollars that he has, which is more than $1 million...
Yeah, yeah.
He is capable of... Of finding a system that is quick release, that isn't Velcro, that doesn't go...
Okay. Magnets.
Yeah?
Magnets are a bit...
Yeah. Well, maybe electromagnets?
Oh, yes.
You know?
That's very Batman. Yeah. Electromagnets are very Batman. Yeah. He'd probably have, like, just a little electromagnets on his buttons, on his snap pants.
And all his electrical equipment that goes with it would also... be designed to not have electromagnetic interference, like disable it. It's very advanced stuff.
Yeah,
like you know, he can put a magnet near his phone, and it's not going to ruin it. Wipe it.
Do you think that his pants are his bat pants? It's a funny combination of words.
His pants are his bat pants.
Bat pants, and bat suit sounds a bit like fat suit. That's everything I have to say about Batman.
I wonder if he ever wears his bat pants, just, you know, like sometimes you go to school in your pajama pants accidentally. If he ever goes to work wearing his, like, his sort of, like, armor pants.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I imagine they're super comfy.
I would hope so.
You can't do battle in something heavy and something that slows you down.
Yeah. That's, like, comfort would be a big consideration for Batman.
Yeah. I don't even know what material. I imagine it would be like a composite rubber thing, like alloy of some sort. I know,
definitely the word composite would be used.
Yeah, composite, absolutely.
Whatever it is, it's a composite.
Yeah.
It's not just one thing, guys. Oh. It's going to be, there's going to be a weave, there's going to be a mesh, quite yeah. possibly.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be different components. There might be some wicking is a new word that I learned.
Yeah. Do you think he has like people in a...
Christ, if it was just, like, he would sweat, though.
Oh, what if it was, yeah. Well, I mean...
Whatever it is, he's sweating in there.
It's like armored skins,
mm.
you know. But I imagine if for some reason, like superhero suits always look rubberier.
Mm.
They've always got like a kind of like a hard plastic kind of rubbery look. They got the flexibility of rubber, but with the protective qualities of a hard plastic.
I think it must be because of that hard plastic thing. It must be tough for Batman when he gets bigger.
Mm.
Like, he must have to shed that suit and sort of squeeze out of it, and he'd be all, like, soft and squishy until he forms a new suit over the top, like a crab.
Oh, yeah. Okay, he's a crab. Oh, I see. I thought he would just get somebody else to make it. I just wonder where they get this stuff manufactured as well. Or does he have, like, a whole, like a loom downstairs that's some, like, you know, like an electronic loom? Do they have those to make sheets and stuff? I don't never understand how they make sheets.
Can we do a scene where Batman cracks out of his bat suit and like squirms out and then forms a new maybe not Batman, but we haven't already done this sketch, have we? Like, but something where like some container that you're in,
yeah,
some hard shell that you might be in, you sort of have to split open and mm-hmm. then get a bigger version, like a crab.
Like a hermit crab, or like, oh no. Okay, so it's not like a, it's not like the one that's your home. It's just more like a cicada or something like leaves its skin on a...
Yeah. A person. Who's a person who has like a hard shell? Like a knight? Like a medieval knight, maybe?
Yeah.
Or a person in a phone booth?
Yeah.
Or...
Look, a person in a phone booth?
Yeah, it's like a little hard shell around.
And the way he comes out and he's just a little bit pink
yeah.
and fleshy. And
but he would because he's got too big for the phone booth. I don't know.
Do you feel like we've gone for too long without getting a sketch idea?
No, it's been really fun.
Okay, good.
I don't want to start again.
No, good.
Do you?
No.
Okay.
Well, no.
I have a sketch idea.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear a sketch idea?
I think I'll hear it.
Okay.
I'm open to ideas.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we'll give it a go.
Yeah, see you got there. Kid.
All right. What about this? Okay, you know how alcoholics try and hide alcohol in things that aren't alcohol, like in orange juice and stuff, so people
yeah.
don't know that they're drinking.
Yeah.
Well, like a really bad one who tries to hide it in solids, like in a sandwich, like pouring vodka into his sandwich.
Oh, just like eating this really soggy sandwich. The bad alcoholic, like I think you could start off that he's doing it like, you know, he's hollowed out a bit of an apple,
yeah,
right, and then he's just like popping the top off the apple because he's cored it, but all the way down, not all the way down through, just enough. Imagine a core that goes all the way, like almost all the way down, but then can break off the middle bit.
That's really great.
That would be great.
Yeah, yeah. Then your apple just becomes a little container.
Yeah,
like a little container.
Oh, container.
Like a container.
Like a container. Yeah. And then later on, you also see him just pouring
vodka
or white rum onto just a white bread sandwich.
Yeah. I think it's like a salad sandwich, and he opens it up and he just pours the vodka inside.
I'm just picturing him just pouring it on the bread. Because the bread will be... And so then later on, when you see him picking it up, it's just sogging everywhere. And he's just... he's in front of people desperately trying to just eat it all. And he's licking the cling wrap. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, nobody noticed.
Nobody knows. I got right. one over these guys. But also, if you ever watched the TV show Friends, right? There was an episode where... I think it was Rachel gets a boyfriend... who they discover is an alcoholic, because he's always like, let's say we make this coffee Irish, which means you put a little bit of whiskey in your coffee or something, and he's trying to like do that to everything. But yeah, I like the idea of someone who says, let's say we make this sandwich Irish and just pour some whiskey into the sandwich.
Yeah, let's make this sushi Japanese and then you pour some sake on there.
Or some whiskey.
Yeah, Japanese whiskey. They make that.
Mm.
Suntory make a whiskey.
Suntory.
If Lost in Translation is anything to go by, which it is.
Mm, go buy it.
Go buy it. It's a good.
Everybody go buy.
It's actually a good good.
It is a good good.
Yeah.
There are bad goods. There are good goods.
Yeah.
There are goods that I have no opinion about.
Yeah. But regular translation, that's a service. Right?
It must be confusing in Mexico, especially if they have a goods and services tax, because cervezas are beers, which are goods.
Yeah.
But that word sounds like services.
Goods and cervezas. Oh, no. Beers are a service because they make you drunk. It's a service that the beer is providing.
Mm. Cervezas.
Cervezas. It's a cervezas that the beers are providing.
That's like the jokiest joke that I've ever written.
Yeah.
I've told you this joke, right?
I know, but the people haven't heard it.
Yeah. How do you fire a Mexican bartender? You tell him his cervezas are no longer required. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Come on down to the bar. We're going to serve you up a cerveza in celebration of this Mexican bartender getting
that joke.
Getting fired. His cervezas are no longer required.
Thank you, everybody.
So, this alcoholic.
Yeah.
Okay. Just for fun. What other things could you pour liquor on that are...
Yeah.
Like...
Toothpaste.
Okay. So you got apple. Put it in like a tube of toothpaste.
Put it on his toothbrush.
Yeah. Put. Oh.
He's brushing his teeth.
Brushing his teeth with like... Gin?
Yeah.
Oh.
Gingivitis. All right.
Gin... No. You actually have gingivitis, but it's a different kind of... This is not... Gingivitis. This is gin gervitis. This can only be this only come from people brushing their teeth with gin, which is more common than you think.
I think, but then so he's so. I mean, he's an alcoholic with a crippling problem. He's got such a crippling drinking problem, which is probably destroying his and his family's lives, that he's got beyond, like, he's not even putting it now on foods, like solid things that are foods. He's, like, putting it in, like, shoes and stuff.
Like one of those packs of moist towelettes.
Yeah.
Right? And he pours, like, just vodka in there.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, I just need a refreshing moist towelette. And he wipes his face whilst just... sucking in the booze from
not
the
not even necessarily moist sucking it in, just wiping it on his face.
Oh,
just
but also
yeah.
Like that, yeah. And then, does he, yeah, he puts some on a pad that he puts in his underpants? So it just slowly seeps into his skin while he's...
Yep. Toilet paper.
Like maybe
his ass.
Could he make up his own version of sort of nicotine patches?
What about then we go all the way around, right?
Yeah.
So even when he's out drinking, like whiskey, he's like, "What say we make this whiskey Irish?"
Yeah.
And he puts a little bit of whiskey in there.
Yeah.
Hey. Eh?
Yeah. Let's.
And
let's,
then we
let's,
can flip it.
Let's make this whiskey South Australian. Then he pours a bit of Barossa Shiraz on there.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
And then, but then we can also completely flip it around, right? So, we now have a guy who is addicted to something else, but is trying to sneak it into alcohol. Okay, so like the obvious thing would be a chocoholic, but that's way too done.
Well, like you know, it's one of those guys who keeps getting cocktails that you have to light on fire so that he can cook some of his meth or cook some of his heroin on top of it.
I was thinking like it needs to be something that's not actually a traditionally addictive thing.
Okay.
So like he's addicted to butter or something, and he's just like putting butter in his whiskey or yeah.
Oh, buttery whiskey! I mean, that's wonderful.
Buttery whiskey could be a thing. I can picture sort of like a rum butter. Rum butter?
Rum butter.
Anyway, why are there no alcoholic solids? That's all I'm asking, guys.
Other than rum balls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Other than rum balls.
Other than rum balls and those little chocolates that have alcohol in them. Mm. And those Tim Tams, those Tia Maria Tim Tams that they had for a bit. And they thought was a really bad influence on kids.
Really bad. Because Tia Maria is a yucky drink.
I saw my friend, just lose his life at the bottom of a Tia Maria bottle.
at a packet of Tia Maria biscuits. Tim Tams.
You're killing yourself with those Tia Maria Tim Tams. Do you know how much sugar content there is in those things?
Yeah. Diabetes. Anyway. Okay. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Can we have a sketch set on a boat?
Yeah.
How do you feel about naval architecture?
I mean, so are they... Because for some reason, I just imagine a big flotation device, and then they're just laying a foundation. It's just like, I'm just picturing a regular building, but built out at sea.
Yeah, laying the slab.
Yeah.
Putting up the framework. Yeah.
Is Google getting its own, like, the Google barge that's going to be like that? And it looks like it's kind of like been designed to be this kind of like quite beautiful building that is going to be this store that's offshore for some reason.
Oh.
The offshore shore.
So they've organized a float of the company, have they?
Yeah.
A bit of a public float for Google. Google's streaming in the stream.
Streaming droplets of
water.
Water.
the ocean.
The sun causes evaporation.
I won't be happy until Google actually has an airship in a cloud.
Yeah.
I won't be happy.
No, you're not going to be.
I'm not capable of happiness until that happens. My sense of utility and self-worth is entirely tied up in Google's blimp fortunes.
But I think that's a good idea, though.
Yeah.
Like, have all their servers up there, you know, you got less cloud cover, so you could have the whole thing covered in solar panels, right? And could be easily shot out of the sky.
Which is good, because then when we say the servers went down, they will actually have gone down.
Yeah, but it'll just feel better. It'll feel more right than if they, like, let's say, dug a big hole and put the servers in there.
It does feel, like, conceptually consistent that the internet is above us somehow, like in the sky.
Yeah.
So if we get all the infrastructure for the internet up there, that will be good.
Yeah, and I think you'd save money on cooling. You know, because it's already going to be...
Spend a lot more money on jet fuel.
If it's one of these blimp things, if it's just like hydrogen or whatever like that...
Those guys just float.
I don't know how often you have to keep putting in, you know, new hydrogen gas in there, but... I imagine that the, you know, because, you know, like balloons, they deflate after, you know, a couple of days. I imagine balloon sealing technology has come a long way since.
Oh, yeah. I hope so.
Since the Hindenburg.
I hope we're not using the same technology for playground balloons as we are for floating
servers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, plus, even if it does come down, pardon me, I'm sure they could have a backup somewhere in another cloud.
Yeah.
It's in the higher cloud, like...
in the cirrostratus.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's very high up, I believe.
How high?
Oh.
Like,
3 kilometers.
What's the highest before you're in space?
It's not that much. Like, the actual atmosphere of the Earth is, like, if you look at it, like, on, like, relative to the size of the globe, it's a very thin kind of... skin of atmosphere that we have here.
Okay.
Really, for the thickness of the Earth.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it should be, like, you know, half again the diameter of the Earth or something is where the atmosphere goes out. But it's not that at all.
It's just a thin layer.
Yeah.
It's like when looking at the crust. Remember, like, you saw how thick the crust was. You go, hardly no crust. It's really just look like it looks like kind of like a Malteser or like a. Or like you know, like gravy that's been left to sit out for a bit, like that, and then that sort of thick skin layer.
That's exactly what it is. It's because the earth has cooled and it's formed a skin.
Yeah,
that's all it is. And like, oh, it'd be gross if you tried to like, drink the earth. Oh. Imagine that would all coat your tongue.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Like you just made like a little earth kind of hot chocolate.
Yeah.
And you just put it in the microwave.
Yeah, and then you let it sit a little bit too much before you stirred it, and just that skin formed.
Yeah.
That's where we live. And we live on that.
Yeah, plus there'd be like sand in it. It's the worst, getting that in your mouth.
That would also be bad. Yeah.
You ever had sand in your mouth? It's.
I heard that you guys put sand in your mouths, like you ate sand as a joke while you're on your road trip.
Pat did it. But I've had a handful of sand put in my mouth at one point, and I'm not sure if I did it or if somebody threw sand at me and it went all in my mouth.
Yeah.
Because I fight with my mouth open. If you're going to punch me in the mouth, you're not going to get both rows at the same time. Yeah.
No. You're a gaper.
But it instantly dries out your mouth.
Oh, you wouldn't think that, but okay.
Yeah. It's like a... Have you ever had one of those berries that dries out your mouth?
No.
Oh, they're amazing. They're awful to have in your mouth. it'd be great if you could get one of those berries and you could just rub it on your body when you get out of the shower. You wouldn't actually be dry, but you would feel dry.
You don't want terry toweling, you want berry toweling.
I don't know what terry toweling is.
Terry toweling is toweling. It's called terry toweling. So like the
Sometimes I hate that our roots are from England, because then you get silly things like that.
Terry Towling.
Like, it's almost embarrassing sometimes that we can't, like, that England got its way.
I was talking to some Swedish person. Was it me talking to them, or was it someone else? I think it was someone else talking to me about talking to a Swedish person.
Yeah.
About just how English, the language, it sounds like baby talk. To them, to, like, people from other countries.
Yeah.
Like, because of our words, like, grumpy. Yeah. Oh, you're grumpy.
Yeah.
Goo-goo-ga-ga, grumpy. And it is embarrassing.
Yeah. The Swedish are holding it above us, though. I don't want the Swedish to, you know, to get one in on us.
We have a, the Oxford English Dictionary?
Yeah.
The Oxford people, they release, like, a not embarrassing dictionary, where they've just taken out all the words that sort of bring shame on the English language.
Yeah, I like that.
And then we just like have fun listing words that just sound stupid.
Yeah, polygobble.
Great.
Dilly daddle.
Dilly dallying.
Dilly dallying.
Yeah.
But they're kind of also the fun words, but they're the ones that make us look less important in the eyes of foreigners.
Yeah, like a business dictionary or like an export dictionary. The Concise Oxford Export Dictionary, which is the dictionary that we feel comfortable showing to other people.
Yeah.
It's like when you show your family photographs or something.
You take all the nude ones out?
You take out all the nude shots and the ball pics, you know?
And the ball pics,
just all the, like in the family album. Absolutely. There's just all those crotch shots.
The one where you get everybody to sort of pull their dick up and just show their balls like that.
Yeah. Stretch it up.
Yeah.
Stretch the balls up like that to like your belly button.
Just three generations in one in one photo. Check this out. We got
that's a sketch. The non embarrassing dictionary.
Non embarrassing
dictionary.
Dictionary export.
Oh, see those Oxford English Dictionary people. They're really the Derwent Pencil of dictionaries, aren't they?
Oh, I don't know what the Derwent Pencil is.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
What is that?
They're just really good pencils. They're like good English pencils that, like, they're the ones that you look at and you're like, those are the pencils.
That's a pencil. This is Plato's ideal of a pencil.
Exactly right. All other pencils are just shadows. Oh, those pencils.
It's like that guy who does the impression of Christopher Walken, and he's like, actually, everybody else's impression of Christopher Walken is just an impression of his impression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to the essence of Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
He's more Christopher Walken than Christopher Walken.
Yeah. What's another thing like that?
Like,
but something stupid.
something that's so much the thing, that is like the icon.
Because, I mean, people like people who go to dog shows think that about like their dogs. They're like, this is what the, like, you know, like they go, this is the ideal of what a Ridgeback should look like.
Yep.
Right? And every other one should just be murdered because, like have you heard of some of their justifications? It's just like, no, I put them down myself because I don't want them getting in the hands of, you know, of poachers or people who, you know, who are going to mistreat them.
What this happens...
They this is like British kind of breeders, you know, things
right,
like
trying
that.
To keep the breed pure, and if, say, they have a dog that's not quite
good
enough, they eugenics that shit.
Yeah, they just get rid of it. Ugh. Yeah, and so that's why there's so much, like, inbreeding and things like that with those.
Well, this isn't making me happy.
Great. And often, tragedy is the source of comedy.
Okay.
All right, so people are doing that.
So what about, okay, then it's a dog show.
Yeah.
But actually, the real breeders are the people who are breeding the people who own the dogs. So the dog owners are the ones being judged, and they've been bred by some other group
of
people
like
who are breeding a particular kind of
dog.
That's
really good.
Yeah, okay.
That's really good. And they're like, look at the way that he, look at the way that he directs that dog. Like look how important he thinks this is.
And then one of, like, maybe one of the dog owners, like, flips out and starts running around and sort of hassling all the other dog owners. And they're like, oh, no!
And then they go around and they put a bag over him. And then he goes to sleep, you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, we've calmed him down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So it's like a dog owner show. Dog show show. Dog showers show. People who like to go to dog shows show. That's what it's called. Done. You finished yet? Good.
Yep. All right.
Yeah. What are the different kinds of those people, right? There'd be like, there'd be funny short little ones with stumpy little legs, and there'd be really tall, thin ones, different categories.
Oh, little round ones, like, you know, proper, like, with vests on and sort of fox hunting caps.
Yeah.
And the great part would be is that they all have like this kind of like if you breed them properly, they all have this kind of like this self-assuredness in their superiority.
Mm.
It's like, "Oh, look at his posture. It's perfect."
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't even bend his neck to look down at you. That's what you want in one of these, you know? And look at the way that cuz you got to look at their breeding cuz also you got to put them down, right? You got to put them down.
Yeah, yeah.
If they don't have this, it's kind of like that fox thing. Was it those foxes on Radiolab where there's that farm somewhere where they breed these foxes, and if you approach one and he kind of like he growls at you or whatever, they put that one down.
Yep.
And then only the ones that are nice, get to survive, and then they breed those on. So over generations and generations, they've actually changed, and slowly they've kind of like got floppity ears, and they've kind of like their features
there's
have looked more
physical changes that correspond to the temperament. So there's this genetic connection between your temperament and these kind of physiological indicators of some kind.
Do you think, I mean, dog breeders, they look like cunts, right? And do you think
all of them?
Do you think it's every single one?
Even the ones that I know personally and quite like.
Do you know dog breeders?
I think doesn't Beck's family breed Cavalier King Charleses or something?
I don't know.
They've got a bunch of them. I don't know if they breed them, but
what's a Cavalier King Charles?
King Charles is one of those little ones. They've got floppy ears, quite long hair, but they've got like white bellies and then sort of little brown bits around their noses, and the rest of them is black. And they're quite friendly looking.
Yeah.
Saw a couple the other day.
Oh.
It's like, oh, there you go, boys.
Cavalier King Charles.
King Charles. I mean, as a name.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
I don't know, but at least it's honest in what they believe. You know, like you know, that there's something aristocratic about it.
Oh, very.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't necessarily associate with Beck.
No.
But she's a lovely, you know. You don't have to be...
We don't need to turn this into anything about Beck.
You're right.
Let's leave Beck out of this.
Okay.
I know we've been assaulting and insulting dog owners and dog breeders this entire time, but this is not about Beck.
Okay. Okay. All right. New direction.
Sure.
Cats.
Great. Yeah. What a bunch of fuckwits.
Yeah. No.
Oh, I said something funny about cats the other day.
What did you say?
Can't remember. But it's when you come up with something new and funny to say about cats, it's quite a special moment.
It is a good moment. Yeah. I feel like that almost about so many topics now. I feel like that about men and women. I feel like that about like even just before when I said we were talking before and I thought this would be a good idea for a comedy bit where I go, oh, so I was drinking a glass of water the other day. And even just finding a new topic like that.
Like nobody, it's really exciting.
Yeah, nobody's doing water stuff at the moment. Yeah. So, you know, like glass of water stuff anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably, you know, doing water stuff.
And water tanks and sort of faucets.
Yeah, and like, you know, the way that you
running
pour.
Water, sure.
Yeah, and like water that, you know, sort of have to like, you know when like you're in a factory and they're doing this industrial cutting and you've got to pour all this kind of coolant on it.
Everybody's doing that.
Everybody's doing that stuff at the moment. But a glass of water?
I mean, almost like you could say that the water jokes are running dry.
Yeah.
Because
I would almost say that. Yeah. I would almost say that. Or you could almost say
almost.
that the water jokes have been used up completely, all of them. But then they're coming back through having
seasonal changes,
through some kind of cyclical process, and they feel fresh again.
Great.
You think that's good?
I think it's services.
Oh, Andy.
Yeah.
Your pockets are slightly upturned.
Yeah, slightly upturned pockets. Yeah.
You know when that happens? Yeah. You know, like I mean, actually, so's your collar. Actually, every part of you at the moment is slightly upturned. I mean, I'm glad that
you can't see me below the waist.
But on the well,
because
also,
it's all slightly upturned down there, Alistair.
Andy, it's because you're facing away from me because we do this podcast in the spooning position,
as we've established.
And luckily, my arm is just resting on your belly, and I have not been prodded yet. But I imagine that maybe you just stick out at an angle that doesn't won't involve my arm, which I appreciate. That's a really nice thing that you've done there.
I do stick out at an angle that doesn't involve your arm.
Yeah, it's so nice the way that your body has grown to be polite.
For the listeners, I am looking at Alistair with a combination of disgust and confusion,
Andy,
which is my default
Andy,
facial expression.
Going back to what we were just talking about, one could say that you must have been really well raised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was, yeah, I was brung up right in that regard.
Brung up.
Brung up right.
Oh, brung.
Yep. Water, bottled water. Water allocation.
Are you worried that I'm just not saying anything? Because I'm kind of like, I'm enjoying it. I feel like we'll find something. We just got to not panic.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the last one we panicked.
The
a
last
bit.
Episode.
Yeah. It was
I
a
think you panicked.
Maybe I panicked.
I was doing fine.
Yeah, you were doing okay. Well, I was panicking. I was spending way too much time thinking about how I wasn't thinking of anything.
Yeah.
And you know what I think? I think that ends up just taking up your thinking.
That's true. Yeah. That's like a meta process that's using up your processor power.
You know,
like checking for updates or some bullshit, like some Mantech bloody antivirus update, fucking
get
Norton
off.
Utilities.
Norton Utilities. That Norton
fucking
guy.
Fucking Norton.
Do you think, like, he must just feel shame. Like, that thing, nothing slowed down your computer like Norton. Nothing made your computer worse. There was no virus that could have a more negative effect on your computer than Norton.
Yeah, absolutely. That was. I tried to write a joke about that, which was like, it should be an offense punishable by serious jail time to come up with an antivirus program that makes your computer run slower than if it had every fucking virus in the world.
Could there be a sketch that's just... Fuck Norton.
Yes.
Oh, I would just love to make a video about that. Here's a bunch of people ranting about Norton.
No, but that's funny as like a concept for a sketch that like it doesn't really have any concept other than it's just fuck Norton.
It's just
seriously fuck it.
Seriously, comma, fuck Norton. And then it's just a bunch of people just releasing the anger that they've had bottled up in them and they've never realized was a common experience that they've shared with everybody.
Yeah, like the common experiences of thinking that the Volkswagen Golf is probably quite a reliable car. Yeah. That's a thing we all have in common.
We all think
everybody
that.
At some point in their life has looked at a Volkswagen Golf and thought, I bet that's a reliable car.
I would love to have one of those one day.
I mean, you could feel really safe.
Safe.
And just confident driving a Volkswagen Golf.
It's big enough for a family,
yes,
you know. And
but it's small enough to park easily.
Oh, absolutely.
And just something about the slightly squarer lines of it makes me feel like they've made efficient use of space.
Squares are very efficient in their use of space, I would have to say.
Absolutely.
They don't, you know, they're not like one of these fucking 3D polygons, one of these that comes in and, you know, has like a lot of concave bits and shit like that. Fuck off, 3D polygons. Hey, you're next after my Norton video.
And then you could, like, I feel like, is that also almost like a fun thing to do, like as a sketch show, just have vox pops about something like Norton Utilities? Just go out in the street, just be like, how fucking shit is Norton Utilities? And just get people be like, yeah, it's shit.
Oh, I didn't know I was allowed to be angry about this.
Yeah.
Oh, give me the mic. Yeah, look, I don't know. I kind of want to write down fuck Norton.
Yeah, great.
Just because I actually have a lot of anger about that. So many times it would be like, it would just be like, why is my computer taking so long to start up?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's right, I just installed Norton System Works or whatever that's supposed to keep your computer. Like, it's like, you know, it's giving you statistics on how your computer's running. It's like, oh, all my CPU's been used up at 100%. Why? Because Norton is running, because it's keeping an eye on how much CPU usage I'm using. Fucking Norton.
Yeah.
Is that company's got to have gone out of business?
I don't know. I mean, they were massive, right? And everybody had it. That was the thing.
And,
anyway.
They cornered a market there.
Yeah. I've just been waiting. I want to know why Google hasn't released a free antivirus thing. You know, like, I feel like that's a thing that they would do. That Google would just step in and be like, yeah, guys, we're going to take care of this from now on. Thanks, Norton. You've been doing it fine. Not really. But just step aside because Google's got this shit now. Like, a lot of things to do with computers, I'm just sitting around waiting for Daddy Google to come and make it all okay.
Old Mother Google.
Yeah, because I trust them for, like, and I shouldn't, but I absolutely trust Google.
Yeah.
Like,
I do. I trust them because I know that they care about my web experience more than I care about it. And I know that they're gonna think of things even before I think of it.
Although, even before you think of it.
Yeah. Like, I remember going, at one point I was living in New Zealand and I was like, here's a cool idea that you could add to Google Maps, right?
Yeah.
You drive around and you take photos of all around and then you can add street photos from all the streets.
Yeah.
Right? And then the guy went, I think Google's doing that. And I went, fucking Mother Google, why did I doubt you?
Yeah.
Why did I even bother thinking?
I once sent an email to Google being like, hey guys, this is like back in like 2003, 2004, something like that.
Yeah.
Sent them an email saying, hey guys, I think you should have predictive search, and I think you should have like some kind of image search where you can upload an image and it'll find similar images. Perhaps you could do something with Fourier transforms. Anyway, give me a job. This is Andy.
Yeah.
And they didn't get back to me, but within a couple of years...
There you go.
Both those things.
I think, look, I trust Google.
And I'm not
even
angry because I'm just happy they did it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if you could just get a company that you go, here's some of my ideas that I'm never going to work on. It's a brilliant idea that could help the world.
Yeah.
Right. But I would never put in the time or the money to develop it because you'd have to dedicate your life to it. If it was just me, I'd have to learn how to program. I'd have to, like, you know, get an organization together, find a way of raising money, become a not-for-profit or some shit like that. Okay. But Google will do it because they've just got too much money.
Yeah. They're just a benevolent dictator computer.
They're better than God, I would say. But, yeah. But then it's also funny
to
look.
That's true. Like those emails that we sent were like our little prayers to Google.
Yeah.
It's like, hey guys, Can you sort this out? And they did.
They will, because we're in many ways, we're built in their image. You know?
We're built in their image?
Because we learned how to, like, we probably got the ideas for that from looking at what they created already.
Yeah.
So they had already created it 3 years ago. Mm. And so their thinking was 3 years ahead of ours already. Yeah. And then, so our ideas, they're like, excuse me, I know we understand why you would come up with that because, you know, of all these things, but we thought of that in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, like, in the beginning of the internet, it was dark, and you couldn't see anything until search results occurred. That's big old white background.
Yeah, that is the "Let There Be Light" of.
How did you get around before search engines? You just had to know the addresses of things?
Yeah, absolutely. I imagine there was, like, a big book, possibly, that you had to leaf through. Like a phone book, but for the internet.
Oh.
And awful. Then, I think like Yahoo was one of the first ones, which was just like a listing of all these sites.
But also, is it
go to?
Oh yeah, but do their little spider things? Their bots that go around looking through the internet.
Web crawlers.
Do they go just into random servers that are just hooked up to the internet and go, oh, what's in here? And then they list that, or is it?
I don't know. I can't imagine that they could just go anywhere.
Yeah.
But I think there'd be some sort of tags or some sort of HTML thing. Sorry, anybody who's listening who knows anything about the internet. But like, some sort of HTML tag that you put out there which makes your whatever it is visible. So if you want your thing to be searchable, then you put this there and it's a little flag saying, hey.
Do you think there's some pinging involved?
Oh, pinging.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Could
pinging.
What was the name of those things again?
Web crawlers?
Yeah, do you think you could do a sketch from the point of view of a web crawler? Hi. Hi. My name's Carl Samson Knight, and I'm an AI, and I'm a Google web crawler.
Yeah.
Ask me anything.
I was thinking, could we do something which is just like starting your day, but if you were a computer?
Okay.
Sort of waking up and going through whatever, like the process of getting online, getting all your shit together is embodying that, personifying that in some way. But
all right, oh, I'm awake. All right, I better start up Adobe.exe. Okay,
I'm sorry. Already, this doesn't work for me.
No. Oh, let me just check the old MS config list and just see all the things here. Oh yeah, I better open up Google app.exe, all these things. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so like no, actually that's not too bad. Like and something about like opening all the windows maybe. Do you want to open the windows we had open last night? No. That's all I got.
Okay, that's fine. Fuck Norton.
Yeah, fuck Norton.
Yeah. Sometimes I think that the reason why my brain runs a little bit slowly is because I used Norton at one point.
I think one of the reasons your brain runs a little bit slowly is because a big part of your brain is always taken up with hating Norton.
Which is the knowledge.
Thinking about Norton and how angry I am.
I'm still, in many ways, waiting for Norton to allow my computer to start up. In many ways.
Many metaphorical ways.
Would you say point one is many? Because it's still a multiple. Or anything that's less than one, do you not pluralize?
I probably wouldn't call less than one many. No, I don't think that's a leap I would make.
But like you would say $0.2 or $0.2 of a dollar.
$0.2. Oh, man. On the news, have you noticed how they always do that thing when they say 0.5% rather than saying 0.5%?
Hmm.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
In the finance and stuff?
One half of 1%.
Yeah. 0.2% or something like that.
You know what? I haven't seen that. I haven't noticed that.
You haven't noticed that?
You know what?
Oh, I noticed that.
But I'm not that all that perceptive. Also, I don't watch the news.
Yeah. Which makes it hard to perceive. Okay. I think we need one more sketch idea, Alistair.
Yeah, you're right.
And then we can move on with our lives.
Yeah.
And our days. And so can everyone else.
Sure.
Be a All fun right. little starting point.
Starting point?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What do you think? Like, what kind of books do you enjoy reading? Like, what style of book would you say is the thing that you read and you're like, oh, this is satisfying?
Well, I've noticed that what I don't really enjoy is stuff that I kind of go like, I look at the cover of the book and I go, oh, this is about this, right? Like, this is about some kind of science thing or some kind of thing like that. And I go, oh, I would love to know this, right?
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why I buy books most of the times, because I go, oh, I would love to know this. And then I want to have that information. Then I buy it. Then I have it. Then I start reading and I go, oh, I don't really want to have to read it. At least I have the information, right?
Yeah. Well, you buy the book and then you have the information. It's not in your head, but you definitely have the information.
I have the information, yeah. So, oh, you need to know about this thing? Well, let me just flip through this book and it's right there. Yeah.
I'm not going to go downloading that into my brain.
Yeah, I don't need to. I don't have the time. I'm going to watch some people knackering themselves on skateboard videos. But I think I quite enjoy fiction and slightly science-y, fiction-y stuff.
Yeah,
and I would never have considered myself a science fiction dude.
Yeah.
But,
No, I think I'm exactly the same in the kind of stuff that I like. It's like something that's got a little bit of a scientific or like a hypothetical element to it, which is sort of like exploring some little idea, like a little... the consequences of some sort of scientific idea or some sort of slightly philosophical idea. Well, let's apply this and see how that pans out. Yeah? Something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah. I like... also, I think I like reading things like that because they make me realize that people are smart.
Yeah.
And smarter than me. And I think you need that.
I don't like realizing that.
No, I love it. Because... not that I think I'm super smart, but like... sometimes you kind of go like, oh, nobody has ideas like this. And then you read and you go, oh, no, these people are way better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
like, not only do they have better ideas, but they also, like, execute them really well.
Yeah, and they put the time in, and they write, and they work, and they, like, fucking did. Yeah, like, when I, because I just listened to William Gibson's Neuromancer, and I don't think I've ever listened to something or read something that is as well written as that. It's unbelievably detailed. Everything is so detailed that you can't even, like, you know, like sometimes you can just skim a little bit and shit.
Yeah.
You don't have time for this. Everything is so crazily detailed that I'm like, oh, there's...
But is it still understandable? Like, it's still written in a way that you can...
Yeah.
That's so great.
But also, sometimes it's talking about stuff that doesn't really exist yet, and so you're having to create things. Like, you know, I think that's where the word Microsoft comes from. And he says, you know, he pulls some of the white Microsofts from a stack of, you know, old computer, you know, parts blah, blah, blah. And he places it into his, you know, like, you know, something slot in the back of his head, you know. And so stuff like that, which doesn't actually exist, but you're just having to sort of create imagery for it.
That's amazing. Like that, yeah, the power of the words and the language that he's using to create a completely new idea, like build that little space in your head, put together the elements from things, like from the parts of the word and the context there, and suddenly there's an idea in your head that you've never had before.
Yeah.
Language. How great's language?
Well, if anything, because like that book is where like the word cyberspace comes from, and
really?
He goes into the constructs, like, which is where like the Matrix got its ideas from. So now I'm actually just using some of the visuals that I've seen in other movies, in movies about that kind of thing. But I think before that it didn't really exist, like before he sort of invented like this space that hackers could go to and physically be in a cyberspace, like a, you know, like a non-real space. But I guess it's still real in that it's like being in space, but like in a room or something like that, but there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So I enjoy those books. How about you?
Yeah, like really similar, but also stuff that's like, yeah, that's set in just a slightly altered version of reality. Like, I read a book called The Yiddish Policeman's Union.
Yeah.
I might have told you about this.
Yeah.
By Michael Chabon. So good. Alternative history. Like, I didn't think I would like that kind of stuff, and I'm not into, like, steampunky shit.
Yeah.
But this one is so great. And also, I like sort of spy books.
Yeah.
Which feels a bit lame, but I do.
But there's an aspect of you that's very English.
There is. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm an Anglophile.
But if you were to, like, if you were to summarize the English quite quickly in a few things, I'd say they like spies.
Yeah.
They like football and manners.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I think that's all I would say.
That's all I would say.
They don't like the rain, but they endure it because they don't have a choice.
Yeah.
I think the spies thing, like, it's an interesting, like, consequence of what's happened to England. Like, spies are probably one of the few places where they can feel like they have power, like, because of the sort of the slow collapse of the British Empire or whatever.
Mm.
Like, the only thing that they can look at and be like, well, we might still sort of do well there, is in a world that no one can really see, and you can sort of imagine that that's all going on.
Yeah, that's right? Like your potential.
Yeah, spies are your potential. Who knows what the spies could be up to? They could be doing anything.
Yeah.
Well, they could be secretly running the world. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the great things
about spies.
They probably are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Spies are kind of like leprechauns.
Well, but that's the thing, is that the only thing that you do hear about from spies is what you read in books, and it's all this glamorized stuff, and they are running the world and doing these amazing things. So you go like, we're doing okay.
Yeah.
You
know? So in that sense, like spy novels, they're just like fairy books about fairies, right? Because all of this stuff could be completely made up. Just their nature of them makes them invisible and whatever. What about
somebody who doesn't believe in spies?
Possibly.
Okay, keep going.
Do you have somewhere to go with that?
Not yet.
Okay. I'm thinking about, like, you know, there's people who believe in fairies, right? And who will say that they saw fairies at the bottom of the garden or something like that, right? Okay, what about people who believe in... Okay, so, like, say that an old woman who's not saying that she saw fairies at the bottom of the garden, but something else. Like, she saw a man with a bulldozer, perhaps. And
so she's mentally ill.
I don't know. I just like the idea of...
There's a couple of, like... This lady who, she's not insane, but she's pretty sure that somewhere in her back garden, there's a couple of tradies.
Yeah.
And they go back there, and they're not there. Like, she like her son comes
over. And she leaves out food for them and
stuff. Yeah. Fairy bread and like, glasses of milk.
And she does paintings of them, sort of standing amongst the ivy.
Yeah.
Like, putting up a pagoda.
And her son comes down, and he's like, and she talks about him, and she's like, Mom, you lit, oh. And then he goes around, and he walks around and sees where they, where it was, like, Mom, there's nothing here. And she goes, look, there's a, I found a nail.
Well, they could be from anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. The evidence of the tradies having been there. And, yeah, and it would be nice to see things from inside her point of view, where the traders are just there, like, working away, cutting up bits of wood or, like, digging a hole or something.
And she does talk to them
and
things and have conversations, and maybe they're just doing something with the neighbor's place.
Yeah. Look, I don't quite know what that means.
Me neither, but I feel like there's something...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Tradies at the bottom of the garden. Hmm. And they... And they leave sawdust instead of, like, fairy dust. Sawdust.
Look, look, sawdust.
She throws it up in the air. And it completely fails to glitter or catch the light.
Yeah,
just kinda falls down, gets in her eyes.
Yeah, it lands on her son's jumper and he has to just kind of brush it off.
Yeah.
It's from termites, Mum.
Your house is rotting. The house is falling apart.
Well, I'll get the tradies to fix it. I think I'm going to have to put her in a home. All right.
Well, that's five ideas.
It's five ideas. Look, and there's some fun stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
sorry if it was... No, I'm not sorry to you... I'm not sorry. I just mean, like, sometimes I feel like things are going slow, and then I feel bad, and I don't have to apologize for it. And just,
well, apologize to yourself for making yourself feel bad about feeling things are going slow.
You're right.
Just say, sorry, Alistair.
Sorry, Alistair.
Thank you. Now shake hands.
Oh, my hand was really wet.
Oh, that was a really sloppy shake.
Yeah. We got bad alcoholic, What hides booze and solids?
Yep, great.
You got the non-embarrassing dictionary, the export quality dictionary that you take out all the embarrassing words that make us sound like sound like babies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like words like
Google.
Mummy.
Mummy, oh.
Or mammy. Mammy I kind of like, but anyway. Dog owner show, breeding dog show people.
You're not talking quite into the microphone.
Oh, pardon me. Fuck Norton.
Great, and it's probably my favorite sketch.
Yeah, tradies at the bottom of the garden.
Great.
So I think that's it. Thank you very much for listening to Two in the Think Tank. My name is Alistair George William Trumbly Birchall, and this is Andy Matthews, and we are...
out of here. Moving on. Getting ourselves together, packing up our gear, and walking out the door. Goodbye.